May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But Thomas hadn't seen with his eyes or heard or touched with his hands. Our gospel story with Thomas takes place, well, it takes place today, 1 week following Easter. On that Easter afternoon, the doors of the house where the disciples meet are locked with fear because they fear that the leaders who killed Jesus are coming for them next. And despite this, Jesus comes and stands among them saying, "Peace be with you." Before they can ask a question, before they can even doubt, before they might even wonder who this is or how he got inside the locked doors, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. And then, only after seeing and hearing and touching, do the disciples rejoice that it is the Lord. This kind of story is a pattern throughout the entire Gospel of John. For John, touching, hearing, seeing is believing. At the beginning of John's story, when Jesus first calls Philip to be a disciple, and Philip in turn tells Nathanael about Jesus, Nathanael's famous response is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip echoes Jesus' words before him. "Come and see," he tells Nathanael. And Nathanael does. And then he believes. When Jesus later encounters the woman at the well in John's story, an inquisitive and bright woman who questions Jesus on his credentials, she comes to believe after her encounter with him, seeing and hearing just who this is. And then she tells her entire town, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." She sees and then believes. Easter morning in John's story finds Mary Magdalene weeping at the tomb, not knowing where Jesus' body has been laid. And a stranger comes up behind her and asks her why she cries. And once she hears that voice, Mary, she knows that it's Jesus. And she runs to tell the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." But the male disciples don't listen to Mary. Sounds familiar, right, ladies? And so we find them here today. After Christ has risen, after receiving the good news, locked behind those closed doors in fear, instead of out there celebrating the resurrection and spreading the good news. They can't believe until they have heard and touched and seen the risen Christ. And neither can Thomas. He isn't asking for anything that everyone else didn't already get. So the day comes when finally Thomas, too, 1 week after Easter, encounters the risen Christ. And he not only sees and hears, but perhaps most importantly, or most creepily, as Gavin pointed out for us, he touches. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas does believe. And he makes a confession that's greater than what any of the other disciples did on encountering the risen Jesus. "My Lord and my God," Thomas cries. Thomas recognizes who this is truly, not only his Lord, his teacher, his friend, but also his God. Thomas sees, hears, touches, and then he believes. Yet here's the thing. Thomas eventually gets to see, hear, and touch. But we don't. We are left to believe without seeing, hearing, or touching the risen Christ. We are left to a church that was full on Easter morning due to tradition or a sense of obligation or family expectations, but that is considerably less full today and for the rest of the year. We are left to a world that, as we said on Easter, still often seems as if Jesus was never here at all, as if the presence of a loving, just, and merciful God makes no difference. We are left to lives that still often seem to reek of the grave, where despite the risen Christ, we do know death and depression and defeat. We are left to our own doubts and uncertainties. Jesus doesn't leave us out. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, Jesus says. And at the end of his story, the gospel writer of John wants to reassure those future readers, these things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Those words are written to reassure us. But do they? Can they? Can we believe and have life in Jesus' name if we never, ever get to see and touch and hear the risen Christ? Maybe not. And maybe that is why God has given us tangible signs of the presence of the risen Jesus. There is a time when we touch in church every week. When is it? Do you know? When we share the peace, the passing of the peace. Peace be with you, Jesus says, and so we say to one another. Now, perhaps you've noticed that Tracy and I'm not alone in this, have been getting a little impatient with your passing of the peace lately here at 10:30. I just want to point out 8 o'clock worship does not have this problem. We've been giving you a little bit of a hard time about this. You notice Tracy even plays the Jeopardy theme song when she feels like we've been waiting too long to give you a hint that it's time to sit down. It's been getting a little long for our taste in recent weeks, the passing of the peace. But the reason that this bugs me is not how long that it takes. It's that when our passing of the peace becomes a social time, I fear that we are missing its important point. The passing of the peace is not a meet and greet. It's not a time to check in and see how your friends are doing. It's not a time to look around and see who's here this Sunday or to discuss some planning that needs done after church. No. The passing of the peace is the time when we share the peace and the presence of the living Jesus with one another. That's what the passing of the peace is. It is a time when we share the peace and the very living presence of the living God with one another. It is a moment when we become for each other the presence of the risen Christ. When we take another's hand, we are giving and receiving a tremendous gift through that touch. We are taking a hand that has been somewhere, that's done some things. It might be tiny and smooth or large and calloused, but no matter who that hand belongs to, it has lifted others up and pushed them back. It's given high fives and pats on the back and wiped away tears. It has done work and cradled babies and held on to ill or dying loved ones. That hand that you take and its owner have had good days and bad ones, just like your own. When we put those hands together, and we repeat the precise words that Jesus said to his frightened disciples, peace be with you, we give one another the gift of belief, of faith. We are the very presence of the living Christ to one another in that moment. Thomas didn't have to go without seeing, hearing, or touching, and neither do we. And then we take those hands that we share at the passing of the peace, and we take them to the table, where we receive another sign, the true presence of Jesus with us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, a presence we can not only see and touch, but taste as well. Just as Jesus did for Thomas, Christ puts his wounded body into our hands there, a body that's now risen to give life to the world. The story of Thomas is not a story of doubt. It is a story of belief. It's a story that invites us to believe that Jesus will keep showing up to all people, to future generations long after we are gone. And Jesus is eager to reveal himself to us again and again in that touch of a handshake, in the taste of bread and wine, in revelation through the words of Scripture, and through acts of service and healing done selflessly in his name. Again and again, Jesus will appear and will offer himself until all of creation knows the peace that he brings. In the light of that Easter promise, we are moved to live in the promise of peace. May you know it and share it, not only at the passing of the peace today, but with the living of your very life. Thanks be to God. Amen.